From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 12th day of December 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Get an update of the agricultural news for the day. Hear from Todd Hubbs, Agricultural Chronos, about his weekly outlook on soybean exports and the potential for those to be shipped to China and whether we're front-loaded or not in the United States. We'll wrap up our time together by having a discussion about the weather forecast with Mark Russo. And along the way, we'll check the cash grain market, too, with the folks out at the Andersons. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It'll be a cold week to travel across the state of Illinois. That can sometimes be the case. As I go out on the road with the agricultural economist, the Farm Doc Daily team, U of I Extension, with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We kick off today at the I Hotel this morning. We'll hear more about that from Todd Hubbs and his latest thoughts on the export market to China in particular later in this program, a good program today at the I Hotel. You can join us sometime this week. We'll be all across the state tomorrow in Ferrandis. That's in DeKalb area. Things start around 8:15, so maybe about 7:45 or so if you need to walk in and pay your $75. That would be great. We'll be at the Paradise Hotel on Wednesday in Peoria and then at the Crown Plaza on Thursday in Springfield and Holiday Inn in Mount Vernon on Friday. Should be a good week to catch up with us and your last opportunity to check in with Darryl Good. You might want to thank him as well for more than 40 years of service to Illinois agriculture working on commodity price outlook. Speaking of price outlook, we are joined now by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's going to be a cold week in the Midwest. However, I think we may have some time to take a look at some interesting markets. Why is it, you suppose, that when we have OPEC meeting over the weekend, crude oil jumping at least a dollar at this point and a bit more than that during the day today, we still have soybeans losing ground?
Well, I think it's some real allocation of money. The oil sector receiving positive news on some non-OPEC nations maybe coming in and following through with some production cuts. So that gave the trade some confidence in overnight trade. Kept it throughout the day. Crude's up another dollar here as we go in this afternoon's session. We've got some analysts talking maybe $60 crude, but beans, to answer your questions, kind of a roller coaster. Beans did actually start out firm in the evening trade. We were up as much as almost 10 cents at one time overnight. But that was more in reflection of the South American forecast. Argentina, a little bit more drier, you know, as they look longer term. Also, two ideas, we'd see some, you know, fresh export business as we move through the weekend through here. So the Asian and Europeans jumped on the bean market overnight to give us those firm tones. But as we moved into the morning hours and even our mid-morning session here in the U.S., gave up those gains on ideas that the forecast does hold a little chance of some moisture here next week for the southern hemisphere. And then maybe we've run our course here for a minute or two in the soybean complex. Spread activity, selling beans, buying corn, selling beans, buying wheat, low and widening that spread also limited the soybean gains. We kind of sideways pattern. Seems like these January beans dip down in this 10-20 area, find some buyers, and we make an attempt to take a run towards 10-50 and just run into some liquidation and some selling pressure. And that might be the trend here as we move through the next week or two as we start to enter holiday trade here towards the end of the month.
Corn showing just a little bit of strength throughout the day today.
Yeah, it kind of held its own. Corn just funds were sellers about 2,000 contracts going into midday, just kind of stayed there. Found some support, but we did sell 100,000 tons of sorghum to China. So that maybe indicates a little tightening of world feed grains, hopefully. maybe that could spill into some corn strength here to other countries. China, you know, won't buy our corn, but maybe some sorghum here down the road. Overall, just seems stuck here in a trading range. March corn up towards this 365, 370s resistance, and back down in the 340, fairly good support.
I'll be traveling next week, and the week after we'll be off. This is our last chance to talk, and I think the following Monday, in fact, the markets are closed still, as that's when they will. It's January 2nd, but they'll be closed for the New Year's holiday. So it'll be about 3 weeks before I get to you. Any final word for producers as they think about the end of the year and maybe needing to make some sales and things that they might be able to do?
Yeah, it's following the seasonal plan here that most analysts was looking at some type of pre-harvest or fall low and some strength into mid-December, so the market's held fairly well. So between now and December 20th or middle of next week, late next weekend through here, probably need to get to where you want to be for year end. It seems like a lot of the meetings we've been at and a lot of the phone calls we visit with people, we're picking up, pretty well sold up on beans and still have a lot of corn to move yet. So, it's one of those situations where we're going to have some overhead resistors on producer selling as we move down the road here. So kind of get to where you want to be. Basis should be the strongest here just right before Christmas. And the bulls did have Thanksgiving, so hopefully the bears don't have too good of a Christmas. Yes.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, and you have a good holiday now.
Well, you too. Safe travels.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the Secretary of Agriculture, could it be Heidi Heitkamp, a Democrat from North Dakota? If her answer to do so is yes, it won't go over so well with many Senate Democrats. Heitkamp, a first-term Democrat and a member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, has been a vocal advocate for farmers and broken from her party on several controversial policy issues, including the labeling of genetically modified foods and environmental protection for wetlands and waterways. Heitkamp has Agriculture Secretary would set the stage for a GOP Senate power play. Picking Heitkamp would allow Trump to put a bipartisan stamp on his cabinet and at the same time create an opportunity for the GOP to increase its Senate majority, which stands now at 52 seats following the Republican John Kennedy's win in Louisiana's Senate runoff over the weekend. A special election to replace Heitkamp, who faces a tough re-election bid in 2018, would almost certainly turn her seat over to a Republican. Well, here's a little interesting twist on the chess table that is trade across the planet. If Donald Trump presides over a trade war with China, the first shot is likely to be promoted not by the president-elect's tough talk, but rather by President Barack Obama's decision to deny the country the market economy status it is demanding. And the possibility of a trade war with Beijing is particularly worrisome for agriculture, a sector with strong trade surpluses with China. The Obama administration's decision means the U.S. will continue to ignore Chinese domestic prices when it investigates whether Chinese goods are being dumped in the U.S. at less than fair market value, and instead rely on prices from a surrogate country. And that means the Commerce Agency can continue setting much higher anti-dumping margins by using prices from countries that have more market-driven economies. The decision is almost certain to be litigated at the WTO. Well, let's get away from politics, sort of, for the moment. After months of delay, the EPA's panel of outside experts tasked with reviewing the agency's cancer findings for glyphosate is set to meet this week in Arlington, Virginia. A quick refresher here. The Scientific Advisory Panel review is EPA's effort to cover all of its bases on its assessment that the commonly used herbicide is not likely to be carcinogenic to humans after the International Agency for Research on Cancer found just the opposite in its review last year. So what should we expect? Well, Tuesday will be dominated by EPA presenting its findings and methodology to the committee. That will be followed by public comments on Wednesday, and a lot of them. EPA has scheduled about 8 hours of public comment for Wednesday. It's the only thing on the agenda for the whole day, and that comes in addition to an hour set aside for the comments on Tuesday afternoon and another hour on Thursday morning. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you today in part from the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We kicked off the meeting series this morning in Champaign at the iHotel. We'll be in DeKalb tomorrow and Peoria on Wednesday. We'll be in Springfield Thursday and down in Mount Vernon on Friday. You can still walk into any of those if you'd like for a $75 fee. Just check out willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu for all the details and the locations. It's pretty quick, simple, and easy. And just walk in that morning, have $75 with you, and we can get started there. One of the speakers for the event is Darrell Good, and it is his last time around as the commodity analyst for Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Todd Hubbs is with us this afternoon. He'll be picking up the weekly outlook and commodity analysis from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Been around for 8 or 9 months at the time. We've talked to him a couple of times on the program. He wrote this week's weekly outlook called Investigating U.S. Soybean Export Potential. This is what's been driving the marketplace for the better part of a decade, at least in the United States. Export potential to China, other places, have been pushing up for a very long time, as Darrell Good showed us the chart this morning. What are the expectations for the coming year, in your opinion?
I think the USDA's number of 2.05 billion bushels of soybean exports for the 16-17 marketing year is going to be pretty close to what it comes in at. There is upside potential for greater export numbers in soybeans throughout the rest of the marketing year. While we've seen strong export numbers through the first half of the marketing year thus far, especially to China, they've been importing soybeans at a high level. What we're about to see happen is, in the second half of the marketing year, the South American production numbers, South American soybean production, is going to come into the world market. And based on everything we've seen thus far, especially in Brazil, this has all the potential to be a huge crop for them.
One of the biggest ones, or maybe the biggest one that they've had on record for a while, USDA did make note of the size of the South American crop and the export potential in the United States, roughly stating, not quite in these terms, that producers and others might be careful that the export market so far for U.S. soybeans could be front-loaded in this marketplace. And this is in part, I suppose, because of the large size of those crops that have been coming out of Brazil and Argentina and other places.
That's correct. Over the last 5 years, we've seen that most of the exports to China for soybeans are in the first half of the marketing year. There's a definite pattern that takes place where most of the exports occur early in the marketing year and then dissipate over the second half of the marketing year, usually starting around February, March. So while we have seen strong export numbers thus far, in particular, current soybean export numbers, the total commitments are 77% of the USDA forecast, which is in a range of about what we've seen the last five marketing years. So it's not like it's well above what it normally is this time of year.
I think it's important probably to note as well that the expectations for the exports, and USDA says for the 16-17 marketing year that there will be about 2.05 billion bushels of U.S. exports, which is the largest on record. However, the Brazilian soybean alone will be larger than that at about 2.15 billion bushels. So this is a big number. And we have to recognize, I guess, that we're in an equal situation with the South Americans now. And that makes a difference in the way you view the marketplace, I would think, as it relates to marketing the crop, as opposed to being the overwhelming, for instance, in corn, where we're the overwhelming exporter, the big gorilla on the planet anymore. We're fighting a battle at 50-50 with the South Americans.
Brazil, Argentina, they're very large soybean exporters. China has been the predominant buyer of soybeans in the world marketplace for the last few years, and we're in competition with them for shipping our exports for soybeans overseas. So as their crop comes online, there's a number of factors in place, including different trade patterns, cost of trade, exchange rates, Chinese growth rates that come into this factoring. But, yeah, we're in competition with them.
What do we have so far in the way of exports to China this year?
Well, the census numbers for exports are only available through October, but we've had 418 million bushels through that point in time. When you look at export sales, soybeans inspected for exports, well, they've come in through the week of December 3rd at 955 million bushels. And when you include outstanding sales throughout the same period of about 630.52 million bushels, you know, we're selling a lot of soybeans to China. It's been strong demand, and it looks good. The idea that it may be more than 2.05 billion bushels, I think we need to wait and see how the crop in South America turns out.
Thank you so much, Todd, for joining us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo now. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mark.
Yeah, glad to be here, Todd.
Well, we were supposed to get a little snow over the weekend here. We managed to avoid that, but I'll bet, Mark, that we can't avoid the Siberian cold blast.
Yeah, well, certainly for the next 10 days, we're locked into this colder-than-normal pattern. That's true across primarily the northern half of the U.S., but that does include here in Illinois and Indiana, but from basically from the region of the northern Rockies all the way eastward to the East Coast. The next 10 days, certainly colder than normal. It looks like this week overall, or from now through next Monday, looks to be the coldest. And here in the Midwest, areas here, especially northern Illinois, dropping below zero on a few days. But some of that is due to the snow cover that's in place, whereas, you know, you missed out on some of the snow here. We actually got about 6-7 inches of snow across northern Illinois and a little bit more right towards the border in the southern Wisconsin with this weekend's snow event.
Do you think we'll have to worry about the hard red winter wheat crop?
Yeah, we don't see it being problematic for either the Plains hard red winter wheat crop or the Midwest soft red crop. The Midwest soft red crop has protective snow cover, and in those areas in the southern belt, they don't look to drop down to problematic levels. I guess the only fringe region where there could be some issues is in Montana, but again, fringe acreage versus the heart of the belt in Kansas and the southern plains.
Turn your attention now to South America. There has been concern about some dry conditions in Argentina, though that depends largely on the weather forecaster. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we do see opportunities for rain starting this upcoming weekend, especially by December 18th, some thunderstorms firing up across the belt. And we think this is a start of a long duration window of opportunity through month's end that should certainly improve in a significant way some of the dryness in Argentina. Whether it will fully eliminate it, that's debatable. But the overall pattern here during the final 10 to 12 days of December, much, much favorable, you know, more favorable for rain activity versus what we've seen in recent weeks.
Any other concerns in the southern hemisphere?
No issues here up in Brazil. And bottom line, favorable weather continues through the end of the month across southern Brazil and northern Brazil.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.